back. Welcome back to Hits Home.
You already know what we're doing. You know what we on.
Man. I know y'all seen it. Y'all seen the new logo. What y'all think about it?
That pressure, that splash.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
We seen it.
Gas us up.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're back again, so we're here with a purpose. Introducing the first female on the podcast.
Yeah.
Her name is Neotis.
Yeah, it is.
Welcome, Neotis. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Good. Love that you're here. Love that you decided to be here to share your vulnerability with us. Quick note, one thing we liked about this female in particular was the fact that when we went out for our interview, she was very transparent, very vulnerable, and we know for sure, like, me and Sam were discussing it after, this episode's going to hit home for somebody. And we're just happy to have you here.
I'm glad to be here to share my stories. Hopefully it hits home, you know, for many people.
I will. Don't worry. Let's get into it, by the way. Where are you from?
I'm from Brooklyn and Tennessee.
Okay.
Kind of half and half. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and then my dad joined the military, so I moved to Clarksville, Tennessee, around that area.
So you're a military kid?
Kind of. Okay. I wouldn't say, like, I'm a military brat. He was at that one base for his whole time there, mm-hmm. so I didn't, like, have to move around too often while he was in the military.
Okay, so you just, so those two places were, like, the most that yes. you've lived in?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool.
Which one would you claim is, like, home? Like, this is home. If I'm thinking about, like, I'm going back home, are you going back to Clarksville or are you going back to Brooklyn?
I would go back to neither.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yes, fair. But I do think Brooklyn more so because my family, they're all raised from there. So, like, okay. the culture mm-hmm. of New York City is kind of just, like, ingrained in our family.
Yeah.
Like, being raised in that culture, even when we moved to Tennessee, like, mm-hmm. the culture still that. Seems to be there. Like,
okay. Of New York and Tennessee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because your family, you know, that's what you make it. So yeah. my environment still gave.
Fair, fair. What is the culture of New York? Is it like the Timberlands, the puff
okay.
jacket?
Bacon, egg, and cheeses.
I don't know if I can speak for the whole culture. Mm-hmm. I just, I think for me, it's like New York kind of reminds me of just like close-knit family mm-hmm. being in the trenches together, basically.
Fresh.
Just like getting okay. through the mud together.
That's what hit home for you. I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it.
Yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of, you know, while we here, what we getting into. Tell us about your upbringing, Brooklyn and mm-hmm. Clarksville. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So basically why I feel like I was chosen for this
yeah.
particular spot. Mm-hmm. Growing up, like, I had a rough childhood. I guess just growing up in Brooklyn, like, we weren't rich. We grew mm-hmm. up in the projects a lot. Mm-hmm. Actually didn't have our first place really until my dad joined the military when I was like 12. I have a terrible timeline.
Yeah.
But yeah, so just kind of growing up with that, I have an alcoholic mother, a father who used to be abusive, and just like seeing the struggles of, you know, daily life, not having money, just like generational curses.
Yeah.
Growing out of that, seeing them grow out of that, just a lot of trials and tribulations, but at the end of the day, just blessings and like testimonies to mm-hmm. tell.
So talk to me about that family environment. How much of that would you say shaped the woman that you are today?
Am I supposed to talk to the camera?
I mean, I want you to feel comfortable. You can look at the camera if you desire.
That was good.
But, you know, it's a conversation. You can look at us. It's cool.
Okay. Yeah. What was the question?
Sure. Okay, so that question, basically what I wanted to know is the family environment, Brooklyn, Tennessee, right? You said your mother was alcoholic and your father was, what word did you describe your father
abusive.
As? Abusive. Abusive, mm-hmm. right? So I wanted to know, like, how much of that shaped you as a person and how did it shape you as a person?
I feel like it is definitely the reason I am who I am today. Mm-hmm. Thank God he was able to, like, guide me through not being the other end of it, right? So not being an alcoholic myself and not abusing people in my life myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, like, it just helped me to see everything I don't want to be. And to try to see the good out of things. So, like, even though my mother, she was an alcoholic, mm-hmm. She was very loving. And she had these stages of sobriety mm-hmm. where I could see like she would work a lot and just be a go-getter, and just seeing the human part of struggling with a disease like that, showed me how resilient she is. So just taking those little things, like even in her worst moments when she was drunk, she would just be like, you know, pray. Like, I know you're scared, but pray, talk to God about it. Like, she always instilled that faith in me and my brother, even in her worst times. And then, like, when my dad would hit her or something, or we'd have, like, another bad episode, she would, like, solidify me, like, this is not what love looks like. This is not what I want you to have when you're older. Like, my dad, even in his abusive moments, like, when I would have panic attacks at a young age or, like, really struggle, he would be like, you're stronger than your mind. Like, you are, you have to be stronger than your mind. Breathe, take a deep breath, things like that. Just finding those like high points in the midst of it, thank God, glory to God, is what shaped me all in all, to know like this is what I don't want in my life and this is who I am, and I don't deserve to be what I came from.
Amen.
In those moments where
that was powerful.
Yeah, that was for sure. For sure. In those moments you were saying that there's like you were grabbing the high points. Mentally, like that had to be a very confusing time of like negative, 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 positive point within the negative, and then negative, negative. Like, how do now coming out of that as an adult, like how does that shape your mind in like a negative situation or going into a negative situation? Like, how would you think that through? I just thought that was really interesting that you were saying, like, even in the moments of where like your mom would be drunk or like your dad would like have done something, you know, and it's like still being able to pull and then give you those words. How does that like shape now for what you like going through a negative situation, or like, is it always kind of like a positive mindset coming into it, or like, how does that kind of roll for you?
I think, I thrive in chaos. Like I tend to thrive in negative situations for the most part.
Yeah.
Especially maybe a little bit less now that I've done therapy and worked on myself. But I think it definitely is. I love that I've had that foundation because it makes me very adaptive and very resilient to things. And knowing that I can get through anything with God by my side is something that has helped me, like, equip me for all trials and tribulations in my life. So I think in the beginning it was actually kind of toxic a lot of times because I just was only comfortable in chaos. And when things were peaceful, like, my body was like, I don't understand what this is. Like, your cortisone levels are not high. Like, you're not, you know, needing to protect something. So what's going on? But now that I'm learning that balance through the years, through therapy, through God, I'm learning that I really do appreciate what I've had. And I do tend to look at, like, the positive. So, like, everyone in my family, like, we will laugh through our pain. It doesn't matter the situation. Like, I think at my cousin's funeral, like, we were all laughing at one point. Like, our cousin, like, as they're, like, singing, it was actually pretty funny, but as the, like, pastor is singing their thing, because they buried him, like, Catholic, even though he wasn't, he was, like, speaking Hebrew or whatever, and, is that the right term? Yeah, whatever. We all started laughing.
We're going with it.
It was. but yeah, so I think we tend to just laugh through things a lot. So I would say I look at the brighter side and I feel pretty equipped to handle hard situations.
Definitely.
So, golly, man, because now having that foundational family, I was trying to use big words, having that, having that like family experience, right? Talk to me about the way that you experience love. Like, how did you, because you said for yourself and your parents would tell you that form of love is not love. But that kind of leaves you to wonder, okay, what is love? So how did you come to understand this love? Okay, let me stop right there. What is love to you now? That's a two-parted question. So
love to me now is safety. I definitely think a love to me is a safe place where I can be vulnerable and not fear like people leaving because of what I have or like the flaws I have. And then just like safe to be myself, like safe to let that inner child out again, since there were times where like I couldn't be a child. So a lot of times, like in my adult life, I feel like sometimes, depending on who it is, I can get criticized for like being like, oh, you're so cute. Like, or you're so like, you know, whether it's subconsciously or not, like, I feel like people don't take me as serious because I tend to be like a lot more goofier now in my adult age. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't help that I look 12. So I think just like a safe place to be myself is what mm-hmm. love is.
So what about the fact that, okay, how many siblings do you have?
There's five of us all together.
Five of us. Okay. What was your role growing up amongst your siblings? What do you feel like you fit? What was your job?
So growing up, I feel like it was really just me and my little brother at the time.
Okay.
For the most part. And I definitely took like the parent role, the caretaker role over that.
Were you the oldest?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm older than him. Like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So I have an older sister, but we didn't really grow up together. We would mm-hmm. see each other a lot, but she lived with my aunt at the time.
Gotcha.
So I think basically just like the responsible adult role is something I've always had. Even when it comes to like my parents, like my mom, when she would drink too much, like I would have to take care of her, or mm-hmm. I would be like yelling at my dad, like, you're not supposed to do that. Like, no, you're not supposed to be hitting her like that, you know, yeah. or like screaming at us. And just I remember constantly being like, what am I going to have to combat today? Like, what battle am I going to have to fight? How am I going to keep us out of danger today? Like, that has always been my mindset. Or, like, when things would happen, I would, like, take my brother and, like, try to distract him from, like, what was going on. Or whatever, like, traumas I didn't want him to experience. Even though the older I got, I realized that probably wasn't the right thing to do because he mm-hmm. was experiencing them regardless. I was just kind of sheltering them yeah. for him. But, yeah, that was basically my role growing up.
And you think you did a good job?
I don't know. I think my family says I did a good job. They, like, encourage me a lot, but I do have a lot of, like, regrets on the way I acted and just not being equipped to handle that role in the best ways. Like, there is always something that you can do better. But throughout the years, I have learned that I give that to God. Mm-hmm. Like, God has definitely helped me with that burden because it's something that I would, like, lose sleep about, surely, like, have nightmares. And just be, like, struggling on, like, oh, my God, like, I should have done this better. Like, he's this way because I didn't do this. Or, like, she's this way because I should have been a better sister. Like, things like that. But God has definitely helped me take that toll. Aww.
So just like, take a quick check-in moment. That's not something that you should have bared the weight of. Mm-hmm. So it's important to realize that though you were thrusted into it and you survived in the chaos and you did what you had to do in the chaos, it's still not something that you are supposed to, like, have on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. So whatever you and however you're able to show up, you did a good job. Because especially mm-hmm. as a kid, it's like, man, I'm worried about homework. Me, I was trying to make it to school on time. Mm-hmm. And then you're having to do all that plus take in mental responsibility of your parents and your brother. So how much of that, or when that was going on, how did you check in with yourself? How did you make sure that you were still good?
I didn't. It yeah. wasn't until, like, the older I got when I left home and joined the military is when I realized, like, I actually had a purpose for my own life. Mm-hmm. Because I always felt my purpose was, like, for my family. Like, mm-hmm. The only reason I was born was to be a rock for my family or, like, mm-hmm. to help them through things or to cope through things. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until I left home that I realized, like, no, God created you for your own purpose, like, for your own walk.
I feel like that's something so hard to grasp, like that idea that, like, especially people, I think it's like a family thing. Like when you come from like a family, people who are like, okay, we're going to stick it. We're thugging this out. Mm-hmm. It might not be pretty and it might not be the greatest situation, mm-hmm. but like we're thugging this out. And like, there's going to be times where I don't have you and you don't have me, but like end of the day, we're going to figure this out and like round this out mm-hmm. and we'll be family at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard to disconnect from that when it's like, okay, I'm out of the house and like I'm grown and I'm doing my own thing and mm-hmm. now it's like I have to pave my own way, like mm-hmm. this is all my own path now. And like, as much as I want to worry about my, you know, brothers or my sisters mm-hmm. or my parents, like that's not gonna pay my bills at the end of the day. Yeah, yeah. So it's like I'm here and like I'm walking in my own light and like God does have a purpose over my life mm-hmm. that could be very separate from my family, right? I think certain people do have like a calling place over their life to break generational curses that have been placed over their family. And like mm-hmm. that starts within you know, the home. But other people, it's like, no, I need you to like literally break away, like break mm-hmm. away and go do your thing so that like I can use you in mm-hmm. other areas and even to come back to your family. But like mm-hmm. a lot of people don't like that first disconnect because mm-hmm. it's different and mm-hmm. it's scary and it's a lot of changes mm-hmm. real fast. How would you say you adjusted to, like, you said you went to the military. Mm-hmm. How was that adjustment period of like getting away and I guess that realization, that like actualization, that like, okay, like I do have this mm-hmm. calling over my life and like this is mine.
It was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so hard. Just like, I think being by yourself and like not having that responsibility. I remember my brother turned 21 when I was gone mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, it's such an important birthday and I'm not there. Like, it was so hard. I got drunk. I like slept through the day. I was supposed to like hang out with friends and we were mm-hmm. eating like burritos and I like the whole time I was just like, it's my brother's birthday and I'm like taking shots, like,
yeah,
back in my worldly days.
Yeah.
So that was just like really hard, missing the kids and like getting pictures, and they're just growing up so fast, and it's like hearing that they're still going through like some of the same struggles at home with our parents and just being stressed out, and it's like you just want to protect them, like you just want to save them from that, like if anybody has to suffer, like you want to be there through it. But just God sending people in my life, and like my older sister would tell me all the time, like, that's not your responsibility. Mm-hmm. It was definitely hard. And then just realizing like all the things you have to work through. When I had joined the military, after I would say like a year maybe, mm-hmm. I had gotten into a relationship and it was like my first healthy relationship. And just seeing all the trauma that I was like splurging on him at the moment, just like learning my relationship mm-hmm. habits that I picked up from home was just mm-hmm. like, it was a battle of like resentment and a battle with God at one point, because I was like, you know, like, what is the point of life? I could have just not been born, like, you know, and here I am mm-hmm. trying to figure out like how to cope from these things that I had nothing to do with, that I don't deserve to have. Like, it's what my parents put on me or like my family members put on me. And here mm-hmm. I am hurting somebody else. And I definitely don't want to do that. So like now I'm a danger to people that I love or people that I care about. And learning that was hard, and like dealing with that resentment was really hard. But luckily, he created such a safe place for me to go through that and just like heal through that and cope through it. And my aunt at the time, who was like my best friend and my mentor, mm-hmm. she would like pray through it with both of us, with me separately, and like check me on like, no, you're doing this because you're creating your own chaos, like you do, like in your family, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard. It was a hard struggle to like learn all that, and I wouldn't have been able to go through it without therapy and God and the less people that he has brought in my life.
Definitely.
I don't want to, we're going to go back to the boyfriend, because that's a very important topic, creating your own chaos. But I also want to know, when you left for the military, did you feel a sense of guilt that you were leaving behind your roles as quote unquote the parent in the family?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It took me like a lot of thinking to join the military, and I had just got out of a like a not good relationship,
right?
Mm-hmm. Mostly for my own doing, when I had left. So that was a good catalyst to be like, okay, I just need a fresh start. Mm-hmm. But it did take a lot of convincing from my like mother and my parents to be like, we like, let us be parents now, like we have this, like we cannot hold mm-hmm. you back. You have to go. You have to live your own life and create your own space. Because there was a lot of guilt. Like, I didn't want to leave my little siblings behind. Mm-hmm. And there still is guilt. Like, there are times where I'm like, I'm just going to drop everything I'm doing, everything I'm in, and I'm just going to move back home at this point and, like, mm-hmm. just establish there.
Yeah.
And then God will reel me back in. Like, it's a nice battle we go through. Thankfully, not as often as I used to, but definitely still something that I struggle with.
Yeah.
Shall we get into the boyfriend?
Yeah, if you want, I'm trying to think how I want to phrase this. Mm-hmm. It'll come to my mind.
Sure.
For a moment.
The boyfriend it is. So, the first healthy relationship that you got into, My question to you is, because I've had my relationships where I was the healthy one and my partner was not, because she was still going through what she was going through. Obviously, I had my unhealthy tendencies as well. I'm a human being. Don't cancel me. But when you were going through that relationship with that healthy man, did you feel like you deserved it? Or did you self-sabotage because you felt like this was not something that you deserved?
I felt like I definitely deserved like healthy love.
Okay.
But while I was in it, I began to feel like he doesn't deserve me like healing in this process. So I don't know if I would say I ever felt like I wasn't worthy of it or like deserved it, but I just didn't feel like he deserved to go through that process with me because he was such a great man that I was like, maybe I just need to find someone who's also healing, you know, like somebody on the same level. But now I know, like, all in all, it was God's plan for sure. But
is that what you did, though?
What do you mean?
Did you go after somebody that was healing and then?
No, I did not. Okay. We stuck it through for the most part.
But your next relationship, was it also healthy or was it? Okay.
It was not.
Okay.
I made some pretty bad choices after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think after, I realized after that didn't work out, I went through this phase where it's like, okay, I feel like I did everything, you know, that I could have did right. Like, mm-hmm. we ended on good terms. We ended on a good note. We had a good thing going. And it just, we weren't on the same page at the end of the day. And that just threw me into a cycle. Like, if it's not working with a good guy, I might as well have fun. Like, I might as well meet in the streets at this point.
Okay.
basically, mm-hmm. in my worldly days, just being very honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been one to, like, be in the streets, never been a streets kind of girly. Pounded the pavement for a little there, and it was like, mm-hmm. I would never be doing this again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lasted for about a good 2 months, and I was like, and I didn't even go out there wilding. I was just like, they have no respect for you, and that was enough for me to be like, you know, all right, I'm not doing this again. Yeah.
But that logic makes so much sense because, in as much as it doesn't make sense, it makes, you know,
it, does, yeah.
it makes sense. I mean, I can't lie if I'm gonna give a backstory about myself as well because it aligns with what you just said. When I came out of my relationship, I'm like, am I like too nice? Am I a mattress? Am I comfortable? Mm-hmm. Is this why like people just keep, not people, because we generalize statements when you go through something. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, damn, it's like, is it because like I'm too comfortable? Like people think that they can just do whatever. I'm like, you know, I got to be one of the people that can do whatever too. Mm-hmm. You know, just to prove myself that I could do it. So lo and behold, devil spoke, I listened. And I was working on the island for a bit. And when I was on the island, this girl started talking to me. Obviously, I knew for a fact that I wanted nothing serious with her. I just wanted to feel better about myself, you know, because when you put so much effort into something that's healthy and you try to make it work, and then it comes to the point where, you know, you feel like your efforts are going down the drain, mm-hmm. like conversational wise, you're trying to like, hey, like I'm putting my pride on the line to like, you know, have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's still not going anywhere. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So when this girl showed up, I was still healing from that past relationship. I'm like, you know, I want that proximity, but I don't want the vulnerability. Mm-hmm. So I think I can get it from you because I don't really like you. But, mm-hmm. you know, you're giving me all the vibes, so why not? And then once we were getting ready to do relations, she was there. I was there on top of her. And then I was just looking at her. It's, for some reason, I feel like God opened my eyes to see her as a person. And not just as a means to my peace. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at her, and then my whole body went numb. And I just, like, asked myself, does she know why she's here? Because I know why I'm here, mm-hmm. and it's not for her. And I was just, that just kept playing in my head, like, this is actually a human being. That's somebody's daughter. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, not being, like, this is bad behavior on my part to mismanage somebody's daughter like this. Mm-hmm. And so I was just there. Funny story, like, I just stopped and I just, like, rolled over. And she was just looking at me. But I just looked at the ceiling. And I was just there, just looking at the ceiling. And she was looking at me. And I know her eyebrows were up because I could, spidey senses were tingling. I'm like, damn, your eyebrows are
here. She's about to smack me.
You know? But I was just there. And then she just, like, laid there. And I think we were there for, like, a good, like, 3 hours until morning came and then we left. And then, but I was like, Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
It's a long time to be uncomfortable.
Come on, man.
So, hey, where is it?
3 hours.
I didn't even sleep. No, literally, I was like this. Just looking at the ceiling.
Not seeing nothing.
No, literally.
What can you say, man? Like, I can't be like, oh, God told me that I'm doing bad behavior. You know? like, why are you even coming here for? So, man, I can't lie. I just felt in my spirit that I can't do this again. Like, it's not something I'm going to do again. But yeah, so coming to the point of the logic and why we think it makes sense, if I did a healthy relationship, if I did my best, then it's okay for me to, like, you know, do bad behavior now. Mm-hmm. It's not, because it goes against you as a person, your mm-hmm. qualifications and your foundations. Because let me not assume, but even though you were in that bad or you came out of that healthy relationship, although you didn't know what good was, you still knew that you desired good, no?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, let me ask again. Do you feel like when you were in that toxic relationship, did you feel like you're betraying the good parts of yourself?
I think I was, but I was like hiding it.
Sure.
Like, how did you hide? I was saying, like, what the world tells you, like, you only live once. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm young now. I can afford to do these things. Like, one day I'm not going to be there. Just, you, like you said, the devil spoke. And boy, did I listen. Mm-hmm. And, like, jumped in head first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I knew, like, the whole time. And even in the midst of it, like, I try to find grounds for, like, respect. Okay, so, like, we're hooking up. Like, just let me know if you hook up with anybody else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll do what I got to do. Like, you know, like, we'll wait. I'll do what I got to do. You go get tested. And, of course, they're not going to respect you. Like, you know, you're not requiring anything and you're giving it. So they're not going to hold your, they're just going to lie to you for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when that happened and it all came to light, as it usually does, and I got wrapped up in a situation I could not believe I was in, it, like, snapped me out of it. And I was like, Jesus, what have I been doing? Like, mm-hmm. I really did one this time. And then that's when I realized, like, yeah, you were definitely lying to yourself. You deserve much better than that. Like, I don't know why you thought you was going to get anything over there in those streets, but.
Because there's nothing out there, folks.
There's nothing
out there. Like and subscribe about that.
No. nothing out there.
Well,
just listening.
Yeah, it's tough.
The idea of it all is, like, wild to, like, process through, because it's just like, okay, like, like you're saying, if it didn't work out in this, like, good situation, like, mm-hmm. there's two things that could be possible. Like, I'm the problem or you're the problem. Let's figure this out. Mm-hmm. And then your brain's going to go from there. And then you go to a winning situation where it's like, okay, well, now I'm fully in control. And, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to step outside. And if I want to do this, I can. And then also there's really nothing that's coming with this. Like, I could pop in, pop out, and do what I want to do. 100%. Mm-hmm. This is something that, do you think that soul ties are a thing? Very curious. Soul ties, and then also, do you think that, like, soulmates are a thing in a...
I think soul ties are a thing.
Okay.
And thank God that he breaks them.
Yeah.
But I do think that soul ties are a thing, and I do think soulmates are a thing, too. I just think, like, you can have more than one soulmate.
Definitely.
Like, I think that I have definitely met a few soulmates in my life, even as friends. Like, mm-hmm. I have a friend now. I feel like she is definitely my soulmate. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. I think so. I have lived with demons that I have allowed to live in my dwelling, like, in my home, or, you know, had sex with them, and now I'm, like, just carrying those demons.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've lived it and experienced, so I would 100% say it real.
This came to mind based on what you just said, mm-hmm. right? Environments. An idea of environments came to mind where it's like, I don't know how to thrive in a healthy environment.
Mm-hmm.
I did my thing, but I realized my thing wasn't good enough because I'm not used to this.
Mm-hmm.
So I go out and I find chaos because I'm built for chaos because that's all I've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Question to you, how do you split yourself away from chaos? Like, what are you using to anchor yourself to peace and not wanting to desire chaos?
The Lord, definitely.
Okay.
The Lord. I think I realize when I get in those moments where I'm craving chaos, when, like, in therapy, they teach me, like, how to recognize those cues. So, like, when I feel like I'm speaking and I'm not thinking about what I'm talking about, or I'm fidgeting, like, something always has to get done, or I'm just, like, quick to be angry or quick to react, or I'm feeling real prideful, then I know, like, okay, like, take... calm down, ground yourself, like, what is going on? What are you trying to do right now? One thing I hate is in the middle of an argument, I'm like, wait, what am I even talking about? Like, what am I arguing about? Like, not you're right. Like, I don't like to be wrong. Like, and that's when I realized, like, okay, you're definitely reacting out of chaos and you're creating your own chaos right now. So why is that? Like, are you being too vulnerable? Do you not think this space is safe? Recently, I found out that I've been doing it, but not acting as so, if that makes sense.
No, unpack it.
So, back in the days, before I was, like, healed, before my first round of therapy, to when I would feel uncomfortable in safe situations, I would, like, argue and create chaos, or I would, like there would be static, basically. I'm causing a problem one way or the other. We're arguing about something, I don't even know what, but we're going to argue. Now, I'm finding myself doing the same thing in my friendships where I'm like, I feel so safe in these friendships. I feel like the rug is going to be pulled under me. So I'm scared. Like, now I don't want to get too comfortable. Now I want to create chaos. But now I'm only creating the chaos in my head. I'm no longer, like, giving chaos to other people. It is just, like, something I'm living with inside my own head. So I don't know if that's, like, good or bad, or but I've learned that it's showing differently now.
Do you feel like chaos is the glue that makes relationships stick together, since your parents kind of used it so many throughout all these years?
Yes. I think I'm unlearning that now. Like, you shouldn't have to go through hell and back. But I do have the mindset a lot of times where, like, our relationship is not worth anything if we don't get through struggles.
Yeah. Tough love.
How are you resetting that sense of normality? Like, all of these things are changing that you're, like, thinking and, like, figuring out that, like, oh, okay, like, this is my cue for this. In that, like, that means a lot of your, what you know is true is changing, and everything that, like, once was is changing. And because of that, when it's, like, a sudden change, a sudden understanding, it can often make this cause of, like, I'm, like, out of control. Like, I don't have any control over this. I understand that I'm growing and, like, this is good, but I don't have any control. Where are you finding, like, normality in that? And how are you, like, growing through that process?
That's
like,
a good question.
I think just knowing I never have the control. Yeah, like, God will always have the control. Like, definitely. And I don't want it. And just regulating myself, knowing, like, in those moments, I really have to, like, sometimes verbally tell myself, like, you are safe because you create your own safe place. Because God dwells in you. Everywhere you go is a safe place. Like, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Just speaking over myself, knowing that I'm grounded in my faith, I'm grounded in God, and no matter how much it hurts or what happens, I will always prosper through it. Like, God will always make it through refinement to where I am better because of it, whether it was meant to kill me and destroy me.
Amen.
So I think that is where I have to really just be intentional about my relationship with God and just making sure I know, like, every day in and out, that I don't even have control. As much as I like to convince myself that I do, I don't.
Yeah. It's not there for
that. And I don't want it because I'm mess it up every time.
Drop the ball, stay dropping it.
I
feel it.
I want to give you some time. Like, I just want you to shout out your community and what being a part of that type of community, what it does for you, and how you were able to create that type of environment.
Like, by name?
One more time.
Shout them out by name.
No, do you think?
Hey, the floor is yours.
Okay, shout out my community, Tanisha, lovey girl, we locked in for life, Adriana, Denise, my aunt, who is my rock, my solid foundation on human form. I honestly wouldn't say that I created this community, literally God did, and I had just prayed so long when I got out my last relationship because it was so incredibly toxic, like, brought me back to God. I started this new relationship with God, and I just remember praying, like, I just need friends, Lord. Like, I need friends. I need women because I'm not a girl's girl. I've never really been a girl's girl. Like, me and girls don't really get along too much. When I do, we're, like, lifetimers. So I have two friends and they're girls. Mm-hmm. But mainly I feel like I tend to click with guys better than I do girls. Yeah. Just growing up, I think my dad handled me more boyish than anything. Mm-hmm. So I just remember, like, praying to God, please, like, I need friends. Like, I need them. And I remember praying, like, make me into the friend that I'm supposed to be, because I will not be able to cater or, you know, nourish that relationship if I'm not that myself. So just expose those things inside of me. Show me where I need to be a better friend. Help me to be that, so then I can safely allow people in my life and we can grow together and nourish through God. Mm-hmm. And literally, the layers started peeling back. One of my close friends now, like, she had a situation. I didn't handle it the best. I saw then, like, where I need to be better as a friend. Mm-hmm. Like, how sometimes I just need to shut my mouth and I don't always have to have an opinion on something. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just be quiet and be there through the process. And God has brought these women in my life that have literally catapulted me in my faith and just, like, in love and self-love. In standards, like, they treat me better than almost any other man that I've ever had in my life. And it's like, oh, now there's even a higher standard to me because I lack nothing. Like, I am loved in all areas of my life. And God, I'm fulfilled by God. And in my community, they fulfill me. I have people to explore things with, to have new experiences with, to talk to God about, to help people, to help them cope through things. Because that's also something I feel like I need to just be. My best self is to be able to be there for people and to just help people, you know. But yeah, so God definitely created this community inside of my church, thank God. I did literally nothing.
How is it being vulnerable?
What do you mean?
Like, stepping out, because you didn't have a community before. Mm-hmm. So how was it, like, how much effort did you have to make to, like, really show up and... Because it sounds like the community, though the standards are very high, high standards demand a lot of you. Mm-hmm. Like, so how was that balance?
I think I was just in such a desperate, dark place that I was coming from that I was like, I will do whatever it takes. Like, and I'm a pretty open person in general, like, just out of nowhere. So it doesn't take much for me to just be my true self. And they like my true self. So that's kind of what just, like, clicked.
Cool. Did you have to leave friendships behind to grow into this new community? Or was it kind of like...
I had to put boundaries up. Okay. Yeah, for sure. I didn't... Thank God I didn't have to leave them. It was a big fear of mine. At one point, I thought I was going to have to. Me and my two close girls that I met in the military. Yeah. We had gone out one time. And I went to visit her in California. And... when we link up, we go to the clubs and we do things. And at this time, I was just like, I don't really want to drink that much. Like, I don't want to be plaster drunk. Like, I'll take a shot with you, but I'm not trying to be, you know.
I'm not getting lit. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was just like a little, it was a hard transition for all three of us in general. So there are new boundaries that are set. And thank God, like, they respect them and I love them and they love me and we are able to grow through it. But it's definitely not what it used to be. And I'm glad for that because I'm not that person anymore. And they're glad to see me happy. So
100%.
Amen. I want to take it back to your dad. So the first example of a man is usually the father for the daughter. How does being around your dad in the past affect the way that you now engage with men in the future or right now in the present?
I think a lot of the times, like, I don't have a lot of tolerance for, like, yelling or, like, aggressive behavior. Yeah, that's basically the highest point of it. If it gets too, like, if you are too reactive for me, you will be gone in 2.5 seconds, like, out the door. Other than that, though, I don't think it has too much to do with, like, the type of men I choose because when I was, like, 13 or 12, I started going to church, and at that moment is where I first had a relationship with God and established that, and I used to literally tell God, like, I don't even have a father. Like, that man in there is not my father. You are my father. So I never really, like, claimed him. Me and my dad didn't really have a strong relationship until I turned like 17, 18 years old is when we started actually having a relationship. And he's a different man now. Now that my cousin was killed, like that opened his eyes to a lot of things and just like appreciating family and the kids you have and like how you treat them, I guess, when they're alive. So I thank God for my father now. Like both my parents, they're great now. And we have a phenomenal relationship now. And there are attributes I like about him now that I see. But as for his bad attributes, I don't think I hold on to too much other than their cues. That's what I don't want. Like, that reminds me of my dad. I'm good. Mm-hmm.
So how much of that do you see and then you're just, like, right out the door? Like, do you feel like you get triggered?
I feel like I'm pretty, like, quick to drop the ball. Like, pretty quick to be like, okay, hands off. I'm good. Walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Is that a good thing?
Not all the time.
Okay.
Because no. When things that I should be able to work through, a lot of times I'm just like, for what? I don't have to. Like,
and where does that come from?
I think it just comes from, like, I feel like I've experienced so much pain in my life and, like, trial, tribulation, and strife that I'm like, I don't need to do anymore. Like, why would I opt in for more? You know? Like, that just doesn't make sense. It's not logical to me. Like, why would I choose violence for myself?
Which is good. It makes sense. I mean, you know yourself.
Has it always been easy for you to set boundaries?
No.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It depends, I guess.
Okay.
So when I'm already in love, like in a relationship, and I'm too far in, then it's not always easy for me to set. It's not. But outside of that, it is. I'm very much a no means no. I said what I said. Like, I'm standing 10 toes on it. But when it comes to, like, people I love, it's like, okay. Now it's getting hard to set these boundaries.
How easy is it? How easy would you say it was for people to enter that circle, that like close circle of like, okay, like I have love for you. Like I know like you're going to hold it down, I'm going to hold it down, and we here. Like how long, not just in like more romantic relationships, but like friendships. Like was that a process of like trust and like with like friends and things like that? Or
I think so, yeah. I wouldn't say I'm someone who just gives people the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, like, I'm very much, you need to be tried through for me to see, like, how you're responding in all situations. Like, how do you act when a friend does something weird to you? Or, like, how are you treating your friends? Because that inevitably is going to tell me, I'm never going to think I'm greater than thou. Like, you know, I God done humbled me so many times for me to think that.
Yeah.
So, I think, overall, like, I probably have one best friend from high school, two from the military, and then now these friends. Like, I don't have, I'm not a woman of, like, many close
relationships. You keep it close, yeah. Keep it close circle. I feel it. That's interesting. Just the way you said that it was, like, you're an open book, right? And, like, what I think of that, it's like, okay, everything's on the table, and a lot of people gravitate to that, like, so fast. Because they're like, oh, you real. You real. I could be real with you. And then you realize you're like, okay, they fake. But like you can see it like, so fast. Cause like this is what you want, but like also you're not like you're not ready to be your authentic self. And like that's okay. So I was just curious if that was like a process of like being able to smell that like 0.2 seconds of BS or like if it was like okay.
The discernment is makes real. Sense. I'm like, okay, yeah. No, like you're not about to play with me. Absolutely not.
He's a liar.
Yeah. People definitely do gravitate to it though. So I've had ample opportunities to like be close with people, but I just don't.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm so intentional and present in my relationships. I give so much. It is dangerous to just let anybody in there. Yeah. So.
I feel it.
So talk about like you in a relationship then. So when you let somebody in there, do you ever catch yourself pulling back based on the trauma from the past relationships that you've been in? Like, all right, the ass is about to fall in love. I can feel myself slipping. Like, okay, tighten up. Or do you just allow yourself to slip?
Oh, no, I'm tightening it up every time. I'm tightening up every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's definitely, I've learned that it takes people who are persistent, who really want it to get that. Because I will most definitely like be like, no, I'm good. Like the fact that you have weight to like hurt my feelings or like your opinion matters to me is rare. So when people are able to do that, I'm like, yeah, you really gotta fight for that, like tooth and nail.
Which is strong because I can relate to that as well. When it comes down to me like giving in to people and like
you're a little too close to my heart, buddy. Like, what's going on there? Like, all right, take a break. Let me take a lap, walk around, get a bagel, and like, you know, decompress.
Take a breather.
But I don't think that's the easiest or the best response, because at any point in time, humans are humans. They're gonna hurt you. You just gotta find the people that are willing to take accountability, and also regulate the fact that if I hurt you this way, next time I can go about it differently. Mm. And it's a process, because love is something that I believe that you want, right? For sure. And it's the balance of giving in, and I realize that you've gave in, and it's like, okay, now I'm scared. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that fear, do you feel like you might be able to like let go of the control and allow yourself to really experience it? Or
I think as long as I walk in my faith and as long as I stay in my relationship with God, he will make a way. So okay. I will be able to. And I'm learning now, like with my friendships now, they tell me the same thing. Like I started drawing back a little, like emotionally inside, because I'm like, I don't want to feel all the pain. Like maybe I can prepare myself for it, but that's not true. And then sometimes I think, like, I'm going to do something to irritate them and they're going to leave. So I try to be, like, sometimes on my P's and Q's, like, just very intentional. And they tell me, like, you deserve to be loved in all forms. Like, in all the forms that you come with and all the flaws you have, you still deserve to be loved in that. Like, you are human and you're allowed to be human. There's room for that. And I love you even though you are, and you are human, you know? So I think now I'm learning that that's okay, especially coming out of my last relationship, hearing like it being spoken over me, like, oh, like you're different now. Now that I see your flaws, like you're not worth as much, or I don't get treated the same if I allow that humanness to come out of me. And God obviously knew what he was doing with the friends I have in my life now.
Golly, man, community is so important. Because just being around people that can see you for you, because we all need that one person. Well, you know that they're not here because I can provide. They're not here because I show up like this. Like, they're choosing to be here. You know, they're not here out of obligation. And I'm very happy that you found something like that. And the biggest thing that you said was, and I think it's a very self-aware prayer, that you want God to give you the ability to sustain that type of friendship. Because we have it. We'll have honest, good relationships. Yeah. And God, I just want to get married. You get married, you get the beautiful girl, or in your case, the wonderful guy. And then it's like, I don't have the tools to sustain this because I didn't work on myself. So I think that it's definitely in the cards for you, because you're going through the process of refining yourself and you've submitted to the discipline of becoming a better nail artist. This is very impactful, very important. And I think that's dope.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Man. Yeah, man.
You hit on it a little bit, but like the importance of just like the reflection of like, okay, I got this thing that like I've been praying for, and like I can't shepherd this. Like there's no way for me to shepherd this because literally I can't. I don't have the tools to. And I think that that's so important to have a realization and know like what you can handle, and also like what you're saying, like you're putting your faith in God, that like these are like the controllers in God's hands. And so in that, like, it just leads you to be able to walk on so many different paths, because he's like, Kaysen tells me this all the time.
He's a member at our
church. Member at our church. Yeah. Like, keep your hands open because of like what God will put in there and or take away. And like, it's so important on both ends to like have God put something in your hands, but also take what doesn't need to be there. Like, you can shepherd this and you can't shepherd this. So it's like you put a lot of energy into like, I also think about it like his timing and things like that. And it's also like you put a lot of energy into doing like something self-propelled, right? Like, oh, dude, I'm about to talk to dude and we gonna kick it off and now we dating and like he's him and blah, blah, blah. Like it's real cool and it's real. But also, like, that wasn't something that, like, God put in your hands. It's something you put in your hands. And, like, that's not to say he's not a good person or, like, she's not a good person. But, like, that's not what God had for you. But, like, you went out and got it. So, like, he's going to let you do your thing, because we're creatures of free will. So, like, he's going to let you run off. You got it. But also, like, when it's his time to take that out and to put something new in there, like just to have the head open mm-hmm. and not keep it closed, to be open to grow into a community, to be open to let these people pour into you emotionally, even when you don't want to be poured into emotionally. Mm-hmm. Like, all of it's just real big, and it's a melting pot, but like the end result, we don't know. God does, you know?
Yeah.
He's got it, and it's all in his hand. I just think about it.
He did his thing. I was like, sheesh, man. But like, you said something that's really crucial too, being able to shepherd it. Because sometimes you realize that I do have tools, they just don't work for this environment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you lead by what you know, it's not always the best thing. Sometimes you need to realize that, God, if I do this by my own power, my own will, my own knowledge, I'm going to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because like in confrontational areas, I've learned to be more curious rather than to be more, what's the word?
Reactive.
Like, why is it that you're doing something like this? Or like, hey, like my buddy the other day, he's like, he's Nigerian. So they have a saying, they're like, are you stupid?
Mm-hmm.
And then me, I'm like, why am I stupid? You know? Whereas like, you know, you could like start to argue with him,
mm-hmm.
but I know he doesn't mean it. It's just like something that his lingo, mm-hmm. but he felt it necessary to say it in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And me, instead of being reactive, God is putting it on my heart. So he's just being more curious, because mm-hmm. this person attacks certain situations based on the way that either they've been handled and they learned these processes,
mm-hmm.
or they just got things going on. I don't have anything going on. So mm-hmm. why am I being dragged out into your character?
Yeah.
No, man, it's okay to be in my shoes. I like my shoes. Very nice shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So I could sit with myself and just be like, nah, why did you say it like that?
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you more of a community based on transparency and vulnerability, where you can sit with the person, they can sit with you, and you know that this person, he's a cool guy. He just has his moments.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, just, you could do it. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you might have the power. Yes, you might have the knowledge too. But is it applicable for what you want to build in life? If you say you want a good life, is the way you're deciding to go about something, is it the best way?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you need to step back and get new tools? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was preaching, so I was like, let me preach to him.
I can run on another tangent. Like, you just said something that made me think, and I'm like, it's like it's a thought process. My parents used to say it all the time, and you reminded me of it like maybe a month or so ago, 2 months mm-hmm. ago. Always ask why. Like, my parents were never frustrated that we would be like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there would be moments where they was like, because I told you to. Like, mm-hmm. I'm your parent, I told you to. And that's like, that's okay. But realizing what they did was like, they created a curious child. Like, they created a curious person. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, it's like, okay, I can get into a situation and ask the question, why? Like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? It only becomes dangerous when I stop asking why.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought it up. He asked me, he said, why are you doing X, Y, and Z? Like, why are you doing this? And I was like, I don't know, I just feel like it. Or like, I felt like it. And he's like, that's not an answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an answer.
Yeah. Sure.
And that was so big, because I was like, one, I was pressed at the time. Because mm-hmm. I was like, who is this dude? Are you telling me? Mm-hmm. But then I was like, okay. I was like, the way that he's literally pulling it in, like, we don't do things off of like the sure feeling of like, oh, I just wanted to in the moment. Thank and that's you. An answer yes. and an excuse. Like, that's not. It's not. It's mm-hmm. not. Why are we doing this? If you don't have an answer, don't have a problem with you doing it, and it's dead wrong. That's mm-hmm. your decision, and your two legs, you finna stand on them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's so important to know why.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you figure that out, then we can get somewhere, right? Same thing, like, Shannon therapy. Like, they're gonna ask you why. They're mm-hmm. gonna let you come to that root conclusion and be like, oh, this spurs from this, that spurred from mm-hmm. that connected to this, and now the next thing I know, it's something from when I was seven. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's the craziest thing that's gonna unravel, but if you can't pinpoint why, like, why are you feeling that craving, or why do you want to do this, or why are you mm-hmm. falling into this old habit, or why do you want to, you know, all of it, even if it's habitual, like, okay, well, when did the habit start? Like, mm-hmm. why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it's big. That why question, never to stop, like, don't ever stop asking why. Yeah. And even, like, with God, like, don't be hesitant to be like, God, why? Like, why does that scary, but, like, why?
People counteract that all the time with the book of Job.
100%.
The book of Job. 100%. Every time.
He went through it, though.
100%.
Look.
Oh, my days.
Hey, what?
He went through it.
What?
No, that story stresses me out. Because
mm-hmm.
like, not one day God was just like, Devil, what you doing here? That was like, nothing, just chilling. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I know a man.
I got somebody for you. I got the one. Nah, that's crazy.
And then you were like, and on top of that, God was like, he was like, all right, but you can't do anything to like hurt him or his people. And then I was like, but then how are you? Like, you're going to let the devil draw you like that? And then God was like, matter of fact, go ahead.
Kill his family.
Just don't kill him. What?
No.
Bro, that story stresses me out every time.
I be thinking about it, and I'm like, what if God one day just get on me?
Like, bro, keep my name out of
there. That's my servant. He been doing it.
No, in the name of Jesus.
Let me try him.
Is that why?
But you know what, like, what I pulled out of that story? That's like really consequential. Character. That no matter what, you have to redeem character. Mm-hmm. And so you have to know what your values and foundations are. Mm-hmm. Like that we're talking about coming out of like a toxic relationship where you still have that good in you that wants to do good. You have to honor that. Because if you don't honor that, then you're ruining the best parts of yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it for what reason? Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah, man, Job went through what he went through, and he redeemed the character that loves God. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Me? It's hard.
Hey, what?
I love God. Jesus, I love you. That's
try
hard.
Me like that. Don't do it. Don't do
Lord,
it.
Like, name in every conversation you got, but maybe that one just,
you know,
a new soldier.
Let's talk about Samantha. Like, Samantha's good, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
Karen's chilling.
Let me give you a recommendation. You get me? Like, come on. Elon Musk, he got money.
Yeah. You know? Like, what can you take, really? No, just kidding, God. Just kidding.
No, but it's tough, man. It's tough living this life. Because we're doing everything for the first time. And that's what we, like, don't remember.
Yeah. Everything is for the first time.
First time. Mm-hmm. Like,
let me ask you this now. Yeah, so your parents, right? Do you have any resentment because of that? Like, because of the situation you kind of grew up in and their actions and their habits? Like, do you have any resentment towards them for that?
I did. I started coping through it after that. Before I joined the military, that relationship I got out that said it was really my fault. Mm-hmm. A lot of the reasons why I was toxic. And the whole time my mother was just like, she honestly, God bless that woman. She was really just like letting me use her as a punching bag. Like every day I would just be mad at life. Like, why did you do this to me? Like, why am I having to go through this because of you on your accord? Like, somebody's got to pay back in blood.
Yeah.
And she would just, she would tell me like, I know you're angry. You have every right. And if this helps you, I'm glad to be a part of your healing process. Like, she would just, I'd go off on her, like, and then I'd struggle with being upset because, like, I don't want to be mean to you. Like, I love you. You're my mother. And just fighting that battle, she was there for me every day. Like, just, my mother's always been so accountable. Like, you're able to talk about your traumas. Like, this is what you did to me. And she's like, I can't take away your truth. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you know, and she's always been great about that. And my father, he will talk through things and he'll be like, you know, I know I was wrong. And he's not as sentimental as my mother is, or maybe doesn't let me beat up on him as much, but I definitely have more resentment towards my mother than I did my father at that point, just because she was so present that I was able to live through all her mistakes. Rather, my father wasn't that present in my life when I was younger.
Did you ever ask why she stayed?
With my dad? Mm-hmm. No, my brother has, though, but I mean, I know why. Like, you know, my mother has been through way worse than I could ever imagine. Like, you know, her mother's been through way worse. So it's like generationally just seeing like hurt people and 100%. Finding that grace. Like I've always loved my mother. Like I've never hated my mother a day in my life, thankfully. So it's never been, I've always known, like God has just always given me that wisdom to know, like she's just a child. She's hurt. She's a baby. Like she wasn't able to grow up. She started drinking when she was 11. Mm. We know like medically that when you're drinking, it stunts your growth at that age. You start like your alcoholic abuse.
Wow. Things. So it sounds like at this stage in life, you're redefining what's normal for your whole generation.
Yes. We are definitely bringing generational curses over.
Definitely. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Neotis, I got to tell you, man, this was a pop episode.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm, come on. And I'm super happy that like you just trusted us with your vulnerability, trusted the people with the fact that you helped somebody today. And they may have not had the tools in the past like you did, but I think this episode will definitely establish some new routines that they can get into just to live a more dynamic, powerful life. You have anything you want to say? Like, if you were to give like one hit home line, what do you think you would give them?
Go to therapy.
Go to therapy.
Go to therapy. Go to therapy. Go to therapy.
Amen.
Yeah, and just grateful to be a part of the process of being vulnerable. You know, our testimonies mean, to me, it would mean nothing unless I shared it. Like, I went through all that for what? To help other people through it. So just be your best self. Be vulnerable. Be honest. You have a safe place everywhere you go because you walk with God.
Amen. Wow, that was a good one.
Man, honestly, thank you. Appreciate your time, for real. Hit Home Nation, y'all go peep the banner, man. Go peep the new picture, bro. We worked on a little
bit. It's
a
logo. You know,
a little something. Also, a big announcement. We will be available for the audio of Hit Home. It will be streamed across the platforms, Apple Music, Spotify. Y'all go check us out. We'll drop a link down there. You feel me? Y'all don't forget to comment, subscribe. Like it, send it to your auntie, grandma, grandpa, cousin, nephew down the street.
We all need tools.
Your mama, partner, your auntie, sister, everybody.
The generations.
Yeah. Amen. We're breaking curses out here. Generation curses.
Amen.
We got it.
Peace.